آخر سوره حدیبیه. المسلمون بالطومست أخرى تحبونها نصر من الله وفتح قريب. But you will gain the help of Allah Ta'ala and a speedy victory. And then as they returned, then was the conquest of the Banu Nadir. Many lands came through the hands of the Muslims, and now wealth began to pour quite freely and easily. They weren't living in constraints like they were living in the past. The Azwaj al-Mutahharat had seen all this wealth coming in. And they also felt some inclination towards it. And then Rasulullah was almost disappointed. You're comparing yourselves to the rest of the women. لَسْتُنَّكَ أَعْدِ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. You aren't like other women. Your martaba is أُتِهَا أَجْرَهَا مَرَّتَيْن. But others will be doing, your reward will be multiplied. They are performing one namaz, then one reward. And for the one namaz that you are performing, the reward is not going to be one, it's going to be doubled. So لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. You aren't like other women. Further, you are the Nisa al-Nabi. The wives of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not just a Sahabi or Sahabiya, but the wives, the respected mothers of the Muslims. وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُ. So your standard is very high. When your standard is very high, then your ways must be exemplary. Because you are counted as the mothers of the Muslim. When you are counted as the mothers, so the mother must have an outstanding, exemplary behavior. Because the rest of the ummah now are going to be following you. So when they're going to be following you, then your behavior needs to be exemplary. And in that, Allah Pak doesn't want to see you with wealth splashing around. Others do it, it can be overlooked. But you do this and the wealth is splashing around on you, Allah Pak doesn't like it for you. So people that Allah Ta'ala like they are very dear to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala holds back the wealth from them. You may find someone is exclusive, right? He's as though he's a mustasna. What is a mustasna? Excluded. It's another word. Right. It's a general law, but now he doesn't come under the general law. Right. Yeah, he's an exception to the law. So he's Azwaj al-Mutahharat. Right, they must live. But now you may find an exception to the rule. And an exception to the rule to be kept as an exception. Now when you talk about this, people straight away talk about, what about Sulaiman alayhi salam as a king, right? What about Dawud alayhi salam as a king? What about Usman radiallahu anhu? What about Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, right? So some people are an exception to the rule. Now when it's an exception to the rule, if you don't compare yourself with the one that is exempt, he's an exception to the rule, you don't count yourself amongst the people that are exempt. So Allah Ta'ala had given them wealth for a certain reason. Right. Sulaiman alayhi salam had made dua, Habli mulkal la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'd, such a kingdom that nobody receives after me, being exclusive. So his dua was made for a certain reason. But now, do you come under the purview, the ambit of that? You come. So when you don't fall in under the purview, then why do you want to count yourself also as though you are an exception to the rule? He's an exception to the rule. Why? What makes you say that you're also an exception to the rule? And you see in day-to-day life, there are some people that are exempt, right? Like you see, the traffic rule, drive at 120, right? But a paramedic is driving at 250. And the police won't stop him. Why? Because he's an exception to the rule. Right? You understand that he has to be exempt, right? Then you see an important dignitary coming in, right? Then he'll be flanked by 10 cars, to the right, to the left, to the front, behind, or the blue lights are shining, right? And they'll be speeding away. And the police won't dare stop them. We are an exception to the rule. Now, everybody doesn't need to know why are they exempt. They are an exception to the rule. Now, we just follow the common law. The common law is 120, just move on. We don't ask why have they been made exempt. Right? A dignitary comes to the country, right? So he has diplomatic immunity. Right? There's no customs, he's just taken to the special lounge, right? Special lounge, and then he's ushered into the country, right? Sometimes the car will just go right to the plane, he jumps onto the car and moves. Right? So now, for different people, there are different laws. And now, why must we think that we also fall under the same category, and why aren't we treated there? You just remain in your place. Right? Now, this is called an exception to the rule. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he's around the time of Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi, so he will definitely fall under a tabi'i. If not a tabi'i, then he falls under a tabi'i, because Imam Malik is born around 95, right? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi is born around 80. So there's a 15-year gap, right? And all the muhaddithin are agreed that Imam Malik was a tabi'i, right? Maybe not riwayatan, but ru'yatan. Maybe there was no riwayat, but they all agreed that he was a tabi'i. So all the more Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi will be a tabi'i, because he's 15 years, he's senior. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi, he is born around 61. Imam Abu Hanifa is born 80. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi, and he passes away 101. So he's about 40 at the time of his death. 161. So Abu Hanifa rahmatullah must have been about 21 years of age at the time Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahmatullah passed away, right? So he saw cream time, the best time of the Ummah, it seems. So in the books of Hadith they talk about Sulasiyat. Sulasiyat are those hadiths between the reporter and Rasulullah. There are just three links. So that's called Sulasiyat. So Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah has about 25-26 Sulasiyat between him and Rasulullah. It's just three links. But the strange thing is, the extraordinary thing, that from the 25 Sulasiyat, 18 or 19 are from the students of Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. Makki ibn Ibrahim, who's he? Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. So approximately 20 of them are from the students of Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. Now, you can understand what will be the level of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah's riwayat. These riwayat won't be sulasiyat. It'll be ahad or sunayyat. Because there, it'll be just one link. He's a tabi'i. So it'll be just one link between him and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or most, it can be sunayyat. So now, the point that has to be taken here is that when you're talking about the riwayat of the Ahnaf, right, then it will be very, very reliable. Because if the Sulasiyat are taken in such high esteem, the Sunayyat, Imam Bukhari in all his kitab, he only got about 25. Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah is a Tabi'in. When he's a Tabi'in, most of his riwayat will be Ahad. Or most otherwise will be Sunayyat. So you can imagine now how high will be the esteem of the hadith. Now, in this field of hadith, sometimes people pull towards their muscle, right? Maliki will pull towards him, Shafi will pull towards himself, Hanafi will pull towards himself. But sometimes in the pulling, pulling apart, right, we don't look at the facts. That's a tragedy. So now, then you can imagine now how unreliable will be the riwayat of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, number one. Right? And if it is that Allama Zayli is saying that Qultu hazal hadith gharib, this hadith is gharib, right? He's written all the ahadith of Hidayah. He says if it's gharib, then that gharib doesn't make a difference for two reasons. Why? The first hadith in Bukhari Sharif and the last hadith is also gharib. Number two is now, see, from Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, right to say Imam Bukhari, Imam Nasa'i, Imam, there's a difference of about 80 years, right? 60 years or 80 years. Imam Abu Hanifa is born 80, right? Imam Bukhari Sahib is only born 156. Can you see the difference? 156. So how many years? 80, 76 years. So now, there's such a long period, right? Went from one person to the second person and the third person, right? So there must have been some kalam in those ravis that came afterwards, right? But because of their kalam in the hadith, it doesn't make Imam Sahib's riwayat to be suspicious, because he's got it as sunayyat. After that changed hands, one person, second person, third person, one person, understand how it's coming, right? People don't understand these things. They pull to gharib and finish class. Keep on saying. Anyway, we're talking about what you started off. Ya Azwaj al-Mutahharat, right? And then we spoke about Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. So now, he is a Tabi Tabi'i, he could be a Tabi as well, because he met Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi, right? So he must be a Tabi Tabi, otherwise he could be a Tabi Tabi as well. So now he left the whole kingdom of Balkh and went to Ibadat, etc. Now the strange thing is, you'll find a king leaving all his wealth, his comforts, and coming on this side to the wilderness, just dedicating himself to the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. But you won't find a saintly person, right, leaving all his ibadat to take the palace, etc. You won't find that. Even Imam Mahdi radiallahu anhu, right, when he'll make his appearance, that he'll be running away from Medina to Makkah with the fear that they don't appoint him as the Khalifa. So they want to run away from this thing, yeah? Until sometimes someone is forced, can't do anything. He's forced to accept it, right? So you go and value the house of Ibrahim bin Adham as he was a king, right? Just the room that he was living in, you know, someone made that evaluation, it'll run to about 5 billion. The gold, the draping, the silk, what was so much, right? So he left all this thing here and he went into Ibadah, right? Now it's about Maghrib time and he's looking for a place, some shelter. He saw a masjid. And when he saw the masjid, he said, I'll go and take some shelter there. So the person, there was a person that was already in the masjid. When he saw Imam Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, so by come and read namaz here and move. So Ibrahim bin Adham understood what happened. See, I don't want to share in your meals. I just want to sleep the night here. That's all. Nothing more. So if that's the case, then you may sleep here, right? And meanwhile, this person was being fed from the rib. So when he got his meal, he faced back to Ibrahim Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, he enjoyed his meal. You don't understand now, right? So he faces back to Ibrahim Adham, he's enjoying his meal, it's coming from the rib. In the meanwhile, not long thereafter, the whole masjid was filled with aroma. 30, 40 different varieties, bread, what fruit, all that. Now this person is looking in bewilderment that I am also being fed from the ghaib and he's also being fed by the ghaib. Allah Ta'ala, why is this person being fed like this? And why am I being fed like this? So Allah Ta'ala's reply to him was, but you see, you were just an informal labor, and this is what you would have got. 2 pieces of bread and some gravy, this is what you would have got, right? For all your hard labor. This man here, he left the entire kingdom of Balkh for my service. He's being treated according to his status, you according to your status. And if you're not happy, then you carry on, go, take your instruments and work, and you will get the same. So by Allah Ta'ala, people are treated differently. Now, why they treated him differently, that you don't need to know. Like this person here, he got disturbed when Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah is treated like this, and he's treated differently. So you don't need to be disturbed. He's coming from a different background, you are coming from a different background. This is where all this jealousy, envy, fights, disputes, etc. start off, that the person is not happy with his lot. نَحْنُ قَسَّمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ. This distribution is the distribution of Allah Ta'ala, it's divine, right? And learn to accept the divine distribution, will be a happy person, right? Yes, you must think that am I doing it right? Right? And how to do it right? How to do it right? Am I doing it right? My intention, my niyat, how is it right? That's what we need to see. Not why he's got this status and I don't have it, right? Well, Siddiq Bandri Ramza speaks about one of his ustad. He was around the 30th or the 4th year, and the request came from that town, massive Muslim town, that they don't have a teacher to teach them, to guide them. So the CE at the time asked this person here, it's around the 30th or the 4th year, everybody is anxious to complete, right? But now, in the midst of his course, tells him, alright, leave the course now, go and serve the town. Because all of us would have found it difficult, but now that was the instruction of the teacher, so he left everything and he went. And now they say it's mind-boggling what type of work Allah Pak took from him thereafter. Great, great saints were born, great ulama were born because of him. He made a sacrifice, he went to that area, saved them from irtidad, become apostate, and then great, great ulama are born under his hand. So, humare andar manne ka jazba hai, manwane ka jazba, kya? Ek to manwane ka jazba, aur ek to manne ka jazba. For the service of deen was required, manne ka jazba, lake manwane ka jazba. Then you do the right. Then Allah will just elevate you, manne ka jazba. That's called taslim. It's called lahu rabbu aslim. Submit yourself. That's manne ka jazba, just submit. Don't look at recognition and publicity. Learn the lesson of submission, and the submission with humility. That I don't even deserve this. Submission, a submission with humility. And when you learn that, then the life becomes very easy. Deen is very easy, not only easy but enjoyable as well. But if you didn't learn the sabak of submission, then you always have a grumbling mind, complaining mind, grumbling mind. Why he's got this, why don't I have it, why he's been favored, why I wasn't favored. So that mind will always be in a turmoil. But you have a mind submissive with humility, and see how Allah just elevates. Allah Tawfiq.